This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live, and you can dial in toll-free here. Bring in whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
And we've been talking about cryptocurrency financial regulations coming down on the industry, specifically the FATF, which is an organization I had never heard of before the last few weeks, the Financial Action Task Force, which is a 37-member nation government gang that is completely unaccountable. I mean, you know, the higher up you go with governments, the more unaccountable they become, right? Like your local government, you can kind of know where your city councilors live, so they're a little more accountable. State level, not as accountable, but, you know, you can still get to the state capitol if you need to appear and talk to them or whatever. Federal government, almost totally unaccountable. Your vote means nothing. They are almost untouchable. You can't really change that system, even if you try very hard and spend a lot of money.
That's why we need AR-15s.
And the, they've got a lot of guns too, Rich. But
yeah. Yes, they do.
But and then, of course, the global government, this FATF, Financial Action Task Force, this isn't even an elected body. This is just, you know, a government bunch of goons, financial dorks, regulators getting together and deciding that they want to put a bunch of regulations onto the world of cryptocurrency exchanges.
They want to make it as inefficient as the banks
as
they
banking.
Work for.
Yeah, exactly. The story here from Coindesk.com gets into a little bit more information about this, specifically not just because what they're saying they want the crypto exchanges to do is exchange customer information with one another. So, you know, if you like one exchange over another exchange, well, if this comes to fruition, all of them will have to exchange customer data, so it won't matter. They'll all have access to your social security number and, you know, your other private data.
So the next move is for the FBI to set up an exchange on that platform, and then they'll have access to all that
sharing.
Information.
Yeah. According to the story here, the exchanges, or at least industry advocates, have argued it would be onerous, if not impossible, to put this into practice with cryptocurrency, harmful to user privacy and counterproductive to law enforcement goals. We can go into some of those details. But they also, these new guidelines, as they're called, and as you pointed out, these are not guidelines, these are mandates, because if the countries in question do not put these into place, they will be blackballed.
Yeah, the other 190-something countries that are 80 something countries
right.
that are not on that list.
Even the ones that aren't members
right.
will have
right.
to do this
right.
if they want to stay in the game. The guidelines also say that suggest that individuals using crypto wallets to transmit value could be designated as a VASP. VASP stands for Virtual Asset Service Provider. That's the term.
Now,
they're
I
using
want to
for
know
exchange.
How are they going to determine that? I mean, are they going to start listing addresses, and then what happens if there's a new address for each individual person, or the person creates a new address for each individual that is going to send them money, right? Then how do they deal with that?
It's an incredible burden for anybody to do this, especially the individual. And this is just an interpretation. They're saying that it could, that the individual could be subject to these licensing requirements if they are transmitting crypto as a business. In the cases where...
Wait, a business. So, my company, which all we do is accept cryptocurrency... Mm-hmm. Would somehow become a VS?
No, more like our businesses on local.bitcoin.com.
It's not clear.
Okay.
We have not read, none of us have read these regulations. There's
right.
The article
well,
just says...
Well, this is speculation about
right.
speculation that's published in the newspapers. So
correct.
That's I don't know that
do
we're right about
articles.
Any of this.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you read
this
the actual...
This is not legal advice.
And here's the thing, even if you actually do read these documents, you probably won't understand
it's
it either.
So
because
confusing.
It's just going to open up more questions than answers, and their own examples will contradict what
excerpt.
They said.
Here's an excerpt.
Well, the thing is, the nice thing about that system is nobody really understands it. So everybody will ignore the rules, but there are the initiated, the people in the club, mm-hmm. where if they break the rules, like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump broke the rules, then people are going to turn their heads the other way. But sure. if you or I break the rules
yeah,
as anarchist activists, then they're going to zero in on us.
Yeah.
And that is, Ayn Rand talked about the best weapon for government being laws that can be neither interpreted nor enforced nor understood. Or no, interpreted, enforced, nor obeyed.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I didn't read these particular rules, but I did read some recent U.S. rules. Not all of the rules, but like, and they gave examples of how to comply and stuff and what businesses it was applicable to and stuff. And even there, it was like, they say one thing in the rule, and then they give an example, and they say, this is illegal. And then it's like, well, hold on, up in your rules, it says otherwise. And it's like, if they can't even write the rules and be, you know, if it's fairly clear what they write in terms of the rules, and then they give you an example and it contradicts the
rules.
Makes
it more confusing.
Right. Yeah. It even makes it more confusing. And
well,
that's exactly the kind of thing that I've seen.
If it was fairly clear, you could do it yourself. But if it's incomprehensible, you have to have an attorney, which gives you plausible deniability on mistakes.
Which
you
is
can
what
blame
they want.
Him.
They want you to hire themselves.
They want
as
you to
attorneys.
Hire an attorney because yeah. they are attorneys.
I heard that the guy who was the head regulator in New York State that created the Bit License mm-hmm. is now a consulting attorney.
Oh,
He set up opportunities right. for him to butt rape us, and now he's going to come and
right.
butt rape.
Yeah. Exactly what happened.
So you can now hire that guy to get you through the regulations that he created.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's New York for you. That's any state.
There's
there
all
is,
sorts
the
of
worst.
Fatal tasks yeah. that I want to hire right. this man to do. Please, take a walk on the sun for me.
All right, so Rich, you may have been right with your speculation. Let me read you a little bit of an excerpt here. Quote, in cases where the VASP is a natural person, it should be required to be licensed or registered in the jurisdiction where its place of business is located, the determination of which may include several factors for consideration by countries, says the document. Further, the FATF said that individuals are not VASPs if they use crypto to buy goods or services, or if they make a, quote, one-off exchange or transfer, unquote.
So then does that mean that if, as long as I buy cryptocurrency and then do business, it doesn't apply to me?
I think the answer is it depends.
It means if you're not in the business of exchanging crypto for money.
But it says if you are... Oh, okay, wait a minute. No, it did say just buy and not... Okay, never mind. Yeah. Ignore me. I was just...
So that would be a really good reason to have a silver and gold bullion shop that also traded in crypto.
FATF is also giving countries the option of requiring foreign VASPs that provide products or services within their jurisdiction to register with the appropriate authorities. They go on to say here that for enforcement purposes, FATF recommends the countries consider using open source information and web scraping tools to identify unregistered or unlicensed operations advertising their services. Authorities should also include or consider public feedback, information from reporting institutions, and non-publicly available information, such as intelligence or law enforcement reports. The guidance even addresses services designed to obfuscate the origin of crypto transfers, saying nations should make sure that providers can either manage or mitigate the risks of transfers that use mixers, tumblers, or similar tools. Quote, if the VASP cannot manage and mitigate the risks posed by engaging in such activities, then the VASP should not be permitted to engage in such activities.
So here's the thing. That means that no VASP is going to be able to operate because no VASP is going to be able to comply because the users are not going to comply. And if the users don't comply, then how can the VASP, comply?
It's going to be very difficult for exchanges to operate under these rules.
It doesn't seem like it's possible to me. It's just, I mean, if I receive funds from somebody who used a mixer, for example, mm-hmm. and then I want to transfer that to a exchange, well, that exchange would have to deny those funds.
Because they'll look at the chain and they'll say, oh, this came
right.
out of a mixer that we know exists,
right.
so
right.
therefore...
Exactly. Exactly.
But if you're using a decentralized exchange, none of that really applies.
And they would have
That's
to
true.
Know the addresses inside of the mixer, which is unlikely
right.
they would know anyway.
Right. But, well, no, I don't know about that.
The point of the mixers is you're not supposed to know.
If you put your own coin through the mixer, you can find out those addresses.
Right.
Then they could change them over time. They don't have to keep using the same addresses.
Yeah.
So it just seems like it's becoming an unworkable system for VASPs,
which basically will make them either go out of business.
We'll talk more about it. Come on, pre-talk lab.
Don't you hate that feeling in the pit of your stomach when the police pull you over? Most people have no idea how to handle it properly, and they promptly get fed into the municipal fee-generating meat grinder. Or maybe you recall that feeling you get when you go to the mailbox and see one or more letters from the IRS. You get a sense of impending doom, don't you? So let me ask you, if you could learn how to use the law to beat the IRS, traffic tickets, almost any courtroom scenario, collectors, credit card debt, and even a mortgage debt because of fraud perpetrated against you, would that be worth knowing about? Don't laugh. Investigate. Check out the life-changing benefits of the Lighthouse Law Club at their website, lighthouselaw.club. That's lighthouselaw.club. And while you're at it, visit the Lighthouse Law Club YouTube channel. You might be in for a pleasant surprise.
Are you concerned that the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, I am, so I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11, and I just finished the Tuttle Twins series. It taught me about liberty, free market, economics, and entrepreneurship.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. That's TuttleTwins.com.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at Edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store, or via Edge Wallet's website, Edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Our toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. Of course, you can always weigh in our chat room on the Discord server. There are multiple chat rooms there. There's the one that's called On Air Now. That's where generally people hang out during the show and discuss sometimes what we're talking about on the air. Sometimes they're not. But you can go over to discord.lrn.fm. You can get interactive there. It is a free service, and it's there around the clock. Anytime you want, there's usually somebody in there hanging out talking about stuff. over at discord.lrn.fm. And for a long time, libertarians and voluntarists, liberty-loving anarchists, have wanted a useful, easy-to-use, well-designed business directory. There were a few really bad attempts at this over the years, and now there's a really great one called liberty.menu. It is a tool for the liberty community, and it's only for individuals who reject the initiation of force and who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. At its core, it's a directory for events, businesses, digital content, and more. So whatever it is that you do, you know, you got a business, you got an event you're promoting, maybe you create some stuff for a YouTube channel or your podcast, put it up there at liberty.menu. It's free to use, so why not? Unless you don't want people to know that you care about freedom, unless you don't want free publicity, go to liberty.menu, and you can use code FTL, get yourself a special Free Talk Live listener badge. That's liberty.menu with code FTL. So we got one of the Horizon guys who actually visited our studio within the last week. Nate is in our chat room. As he points out, since we've been talking about this crackdown that seems to be coming against the cryptocurrency exchanges, he says, zero knowledge empowered decentralized services will become absolutely necessary. And he may be right. And Rich, this, I think, goes back to what you were saying, that this may be the end of the cryptocurrency, the centralized cryptocurrency exchange. We may be seeing the very beginning of the end at the hands of government regulatory agencies that may crush them out.
And this is the same pattern that we're observing in the dark web. Where the government has been playing whack-a-mole, and whenever a dark web market becomes prominent, it eventually gets busted, and then it's gone, and then it's the next market.
So wait, is there going to be a decentralized darknet market?
I think eventually there will be.
Now, I know that OpenBazaar,
once they solve the problem of decentralized exchanges that can do cash in person exchanges, then you're pretty much at a dark market. You just need to add different ways of listing your stock.
Now, it's been a while since I've been on OpenBazaar, and I know that the designers of OpenBazaar will deny it to the hilt because they can't legally say, yeah, you can use this for darknet purposes. But as I understand it, you could, in theory, utilize OpenBazaar to do this. I don't know if it's being used for that. I don't know if its privacy is where it needs to be yet for it. But OpenBazaar, for listeners that don't know, do you guys want to describe it? Are you familiar with it enough to say?
I don't know that much about it. I guess you already have listings on it.
I don't have them up right now.
I've used it. I haven't sold anything on it, but I have bought stuff from it, and I set up a store on it.
And no one's ever bought anything through it?
Well, it wasn't actually up, really. I was partially up. But
I had one up for a while selling Derek J. Spectrum's Crime Spree DVDs, but I never actually got a sale, and then I ended up changing laptops, so I haven't put it back up since.
Yeah, same kind of situation.
And if that was a long time ago, then I assume it's getting bigger as time goes on.
I hope so. It seems like a good product.
There's a 2.0 version out that I've never touched, but it hopefully fixes the bugs in the 1.0
version. It was super buggy at 1.0.
Unfortunately, I do want to get a set back up actually on that, but I have not. But I have bought off of it, and so.
And how was the process?
It was actually pretty seamless. It wasn't hard.
What did you buy? If you can say, what did you buy?
I did, and it was. You guys are gonna laugh, but it was an OpenBazaar T-shirt.
Oh, okay.
From
OpenBazaar.
OpenBazaar. I believe anyway. I'm not 100% positive, but it was. I don't think there was any way to delineate. Who's the official, who's officially behind it. So I don't know it was actually the OpenBazaar developers, but I presume it was.
But that's a good example of a decentralized marketplace that only exists, in that it will not be there if people don't put things onto it, and they're using their own computers as their own servers to serve that information out to the internet. So if, like I said, if my laptop goes offline, you can't order Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree from OpenBazaar.
Yeah, interesting.
Right. So that's something we've been talking about for a while, and my solution to that is that you should have an internet appliance in your house.
That's on all the time, serving
that's
servers
on
and
all
such.
The time, and it's doing things like, instead of you're giving passwords to websites, let the website connect to your internet appliance and say, hey, this person is trying to talk to me right now. Should I let him?
So
there are similar systems to that using cell phones now, but it could be universalized.
Like a two-factor device almost.
Almost like a two-factor device, but
you
the important
it
thing
manually?
Is you've got all the secrets.
I see.
So there's something called IPFS, which is, I believe, interplanetary file system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, I don't know if that specifically has been implemented into, OpenBazaar.
It's a server, is it?
What I was told at PorkFest was that OpenBazaar ran on IPFS.
Oh, really?
Well,
and
I thought that was just
for storage. That was the cause of some of the problems. Well, it used IPFS as a storage solution, so that like your ad would be stored on IPFS.
When you're offline, basically, your store is still online as mm-hmm. a result of that. Some of the problems that it had may have sort of implemented some solutions for that. And I don't think that was in the 1.0 version. I could be mistaken. Maybe you recall otherwise, Rich?
I don't recall one way or the other. I just talked to a developer at PorkFest who was telling me that IPFS was used in the implementation.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know if that was in the 2.0 version only or what the story was, although it might have been in the 1.0. I'm not 100% certain.
Well, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
So back to the story about the crackdown against the Bitcoin exchange, the cryptocurrency exchanges. Data analysis company, this is from CoinDesk, the data analysis company Chainalysis, among others, has warned that instead of more transparency, this now official rule would spur services to shut down or drop off the radar. But despite hearing such concerns, at a private sector consultation meeting in Vienna last month with nearly 300 attendees, the FATF, led by the United States, pressed ahead. Here's the quote from U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. He said, quote, "By adopting the standards and guidelines agreed to this week, the FATF will make sure that virtual asset service providers do not operate in the dark shadows. This will help the fintech sector, quote, stay one step ahead of rogue regimes and sympathizers of illicit causes." He went on to say, "We will not allow cryptocurrency to become the equivalent of secret numbered accounts, and we will allow for proper use, but we will not tolerate the continued use for illicit activities."
Yeah,
some tough talk there.
You know, this is what they failed to realize.
Yeah, they're not going to let us import marijuana anymore.
Oh, darn it.
They said so in like 72.
Right.
Right? Cryptocurrency is, you know, it's intended, it's designed from the get-go to thwart their ability to undermine.
And
it,
all
right?
Their, like, tough talk
undermine,
is not
undermine right. financial freedom. So it doesn't really matter if they attack it because it is resistant to those attacks
Correct.
From the beginning.
The exchanges, however, are not.
That's true.
The cryptocurrency itself is impenetrable from those attacks, but the exchanges are centralized by their nature, and so therefore they will either have to obey the regulations as best as they can or shut down
but
entirely.
But you don't need an exchange, and that's what they're forgetting. You can have decentralized solutions like local.bitcoin.com,
sure,
and other means. And even if they shut down local.bitcoin.com,
contact me.
There's more on the way here.
There's other ways to get it.
855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And if exchanges start shutting down, you'll see more of those alternatives popping up.
I just accepted myself personally. So problem solved.
Business owners, you want more customers? Accept cryptocurrencies. There's people all around you just waiting to spend money at your store. If only you would take it. I know, you've been waiting till someone else makes it easy. Well, good news. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com adds Bitcoin to your point of sale. Totally free. Use the same equipment you already have, now with Bitcoin. And unlike credit cards, there's no fees. Let the guys at HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com bring new customers to your store. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
Are you concerned that the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, I am, so I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11, and I just finished the Tuttle Twins series. It taught me about liberty, free market, economics, and entrepreneurship.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. That's TuttleTwins.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The body of a University of Utah student, Mackenzie Luke, has been found in a canyon north of Salt Lake City. Police Chief Mike Brown made the announcement.
I am relieved to report that we have recovered Mackenzie Luke from Logan Canyon. I spoke with Mackenzie's family this morning. We hope this will help them find some closure and justice for Mackenzie.
Last Friday, police arrested 31-year-old Ayuli Ajayi in connection with Luke's death, and at the time, he was expected to be charged with aggravated murder, aggravated kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and the desecration of a body. He's currently being held without bail. The Dow Jones Industrial finished the week with a nearly 44-point loss after the government reported that 224,000 jobs were added last month, much better than expected. Although that snapped a four-day winning streak, the Dow ended the day well off its lows. Earlier, it had fallen 233 points. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
You dial toll free. Join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. In squeezing their grip even tighter over these centralized cryptocurrency exchanges, Chris, you were saying during the break there that you believe that that's just going to do the opposite of their intention and drive users and drive development of decentralized alternatives, that the government is actually going to accelerate that process inadvertently.
They're handing our solution to us on a silver plate because they're going to drive, by shutting down the exchanges, they're going to drive this the centralized exchanges, which they can control, to the individuals who are using them, to decentralized exchanges, which they cannot control. We just have to wait.
What are the best?
If that is what's going to happen, if that's what's happening right now,
so we
suspect it is.
We know local.bitcoin.com just launched a month ago,
right? And that's not a decentralized exchange.
No, it's not a true decentralized exchange. However, it is a protected exchange, and it's not KYC, know your customer.
And I don't know they have to be because they're simply facilitating trades. They're
correct.
Not in and
they're
of themselves
also in Japan.
An intermediary.
They're not right. They're registered in like Sweden, and the offices are in Japan or something like that.
Yeah.
They're not holding customer funds.
Right. Exactly.
So there's no know your customer requirements.
Right.
Because they're just connecting you buyers and sellers, sort of like how Uber connects, you know, a driver with a rider.
It's like if I bought some cryptocurrency.
Well,
although
Uber technically is in a different situation.
It is
because
different,
you pay Uber and Uber pays the driver.
That's true.
And to some extent they can be held liable in ways that local Bitcoin
Com.
No, a better example would have been what was the pseudo decentralized ride sharing app that we had?
The one that never came out, Arcade City.
Arcade City.
I might be thinking of Arcade City, but not even that. What's the one that actually did exist?
Cell 411.
Yeah. I think Cell 411. That might be a better example, but that wasn't really decentralized.
Right, because it's still their central server
right,
that's serving all that.
But you did pay the driver directly as opposed to going through them.
That's true. It was more decentralized than Uber.
Right.
That was the only reason. That would be the equivalent, sort of.
Right.
Because they're just a matchmaker, basically, is what local.bitcoin.com is.
And that's exactly, that's an exact equivalent of local.bitcoin.com, I would say.
So and it's a matchmaker with privacy and encryption. So that's a step in the right direction, and I think it's a good one. And then for these decentralized exchanges, I still haven't really taken the time to see what the competition was like, because I'd heard that BISC was the biggest one, and then when I went on there, I was pretty underwhelmed by the amount of options. So if somebody knows of a better one, please let us know. What's the number one? Is it, maybe it's not BISC. Maybe there is one that's like pretty busy now. I don't know. But if there's a better one, you're welcome to, you know, drop it into our chat room over at discord.lrn.fm. There's actually a cryptocurrency centric chat if you want to drop that in there later on tonight if you got a recommendation for us. But as is being pointed out here by Serhiy Mokhinyev, who is a regulatory affairs counsel at CEX.io, which is a London-based Bitcoin exchange. He talks about these regulations from the Financial Action Task Force and says that these new rules that they want to put into place, he says, would be pointless at best when not impossible to follow. Listen to what a law enforcement expert has to say. He then cites, let's see here, Jarek Jakubczyk, the strategy analyst at Europol, the European Union law enforcement agency, who says, quote, identifying owners of non-custodial wallets in majority cases simply cannot be done by private companies with reasonable certainty. Thus, mandating businesses to do something that cannot be done is an exercise in futility. That's a cop that's saying
this. Unless their objective is to shut down all of the exchanges.
I say bring that on. I mean, I'm sorry for the people who own the exchanges.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
they made a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Well, they did make a lot of money. And the truth is, if the exchanges get regulated out of business, then the decentralized exchange market will take off.
And
that one can't be stopped.
Identifying owners who send transactions from one identified party to another is feasible, assuming that the tracing tools correctly cluster and identify the entities, which they frequently don't. However, if the exchanges are sharing databases, then they would be able to at least identify their own accounts amongst one another. Jakubczyk told me, of course, this would entail restricting user privacy and allowing businesses to exchange sensitive, personally identifiable information with one another, which is a pretty scary idea, that if you're on one exchange, then every other exchange gets to know it. And to what purpose? This is another quote from this cop. Quote, the majority of exchange-to-exchange transactions are related to trading activities that are naturally not criminal, he said. So reallocating compliance resources at a high number of relatively low-risk transactions will move the emphasis away from flagging criminal transactions to focusing on low-risk transactions, which will naturally hurt crime prevention. So he's basically saying that you're looking in the wrong place here, governments. If indeed you want to catch criminals, they're probably not the cartel that we talked about earlier is not yet presumably on crypto. They're not going to open up a Binance account.
Right.
You know?
But government's goal is never to catch criminals. It's always to make more criminals.
That's a good point.
That's
and that's what this will do.
Absolutely.
Is it will strike fear into the heart of everybody involved.
I never thought about the cops being on our side in some sense.
Yeah.
Well, in this, he's just calling out, you know, he strikes me as somebody who actually thinks his job is to protect and serve. And he's just like, these people are idiots, not realizing that they're just lying about their reasons for doing this.
Yeah. And to what purpose? Yeah. Quote, the majority, oh, sorry, I read that one already. As a result, he said, quote, the only benefit for the exchange will be a formal check in a compliance checkbox. Unquote. If Jakubczyk is right, a substantial part of crypto transactions will move to the underworld, leaving law enforcement and financial intelligence units with nothing except the trace of transactions. If the proposal is adopted, FATF's member... Because what he's saying is, right now, at least you have some information about traders, right? Like, you know that traders have accounts. You know the volume the trader is trading. You know what times and, you know, when and all that and the IP addresses from which they're logging in. And if they go to the decentralized exchanges, all that data is gone.
Yep.
So they'll have even less to investigate with. If the proposal is adopted, FATF's member countries will eventually require all virtual asset service providers to do the same as other financial institutions do, to transmit information in one way or another to one another. Some pretty scary stuff here because, you know, as they point out here in the industry representatives, again, these industry reps went to a hearing by this FATF regulatory board and, of course, begged. They're like, please, please leave us alone. You know, we don't want your regulations. Go away. We're trying our best to help, you know, but we don't want to do this. So they say, well, how would we determine if a crypto address is controlled by another crypto exchange? Well, it would seem like the best way to do that would be to have them all exchange databases about which addresses they're utilizing, which is a tremendous.
That's exactly what they would have to do.
Right. That's the only option.
Yeah, they're
going
to have to have some sort of centralized database in order to exchange.
Which is scary. How can one of these exchanges verify the information about the identity of a beneficiary of a virtual asset transfer, especially if the target address isn't controlled by another one of these exchanges? Well, you wouldn't be able to.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, the other thing is if you can view your own, if they put this stuff on the blockchain, mm-hmm. they'll be tagging these addresses, and that can then be traced by anybody. So, I mean,
well,
the logical
I don't think it'll be
place,
public. The database will be in between the exchanges.
Yeah, I mean, this is not part of the whole blockchain to begin with. So
no, that'll
know.
Be off chain. All the transactions on the exchanges are off chain.
Yeah.
They're done within the exchange.
Now they could set up a dual blockchain to begin.
Yeah,
that
I mean, set up your own exchange, mm-hmm. put it online, and then start sending transfers to address to people that you want to know more about. Well, what do you get back? You get back all of their information from their exchange.
Yeah, so another question. How exactly should the exchange of information between the exchange of the sender and that of the beneficiary take place? And how do we secure customer privacy? Your privacy's out the window.
Yeah, right?
At this point, if this happens, and it sounds like it's going to happen because they have a year to implement this, these new guidelines, or else the country will
he's
be
got quotes in that, by the way, guys. Yeah. I can't see. He's a little...
855-453 is the toll-free number here, 855-450-3733. Coming up, we got the Amazon story. We're going to get into it here in moments. Will they be liable for third-party transactions? It's Free Talk Live.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampappa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Soul free, bring up whatever you want here. Our number, 855-450, free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. In these remaining moments, we have enough time for you. If you want to join us here, it's Ian Nobody and Chris in the studio, and we're going to get back into, of course, your calls and thoughts. If you want to join us, you're welcome to do that. You can also join us online over at freetalklive.com, where if you want to support what we do here, please do like Paul Gibbons has done and become a Free Talk Live amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. Paul is a gold amplifier, longtime supporter here on Free Talk Live. Many of you may remember him as the guy that recorded a bunch of videos over at the Liberty Forum, the Porcupine Freedom Festival. If you've been to those events, you probably remember Paul. Great guy, constantly goes to Liberty events, and he's a supporter of Free Talk Live. So you can do that just like he did over at amp.freetalklive.com. You can use PayPal, you can use Bitcoin BTC, or your credit card to sign up and back up the show and get some cool perks, get some benefits for being an amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. I should also add that Rich, you and I are staying on late tonight. We're going to be doing a after show.
Freer Talk Live.
That's right, and that'll
start.
Are
we going to be staying on or coming back?
We'll come back. We'll come back at like 10:30 Eastern time for that.
Yeah.
So join us on our channels on the internet on dlive.lrn.fm and twitch.lrn.fm about a half hour after the radio show is over tonight for the not so censored version of Free Talk Live.
You want to hear what I really think?
Yeah.
Geez, you're bad enough on the air, Rich. I don't even want to know what you really think.
Oh, I'll scorch the pants right off somebody.
DLive. Well, you can't take your pants off on DLive. They'll get mad about that.
Yeah, you can. They're hidden below the table.
True.
I will wear no pants for this.
Now you dare your shirt on. DLive.lrn.fm. All right, the Amazon story we've been teasing all night here, Chris. What's going on? What's the latest with this corporate retail behemoth?
Yeah, so Reuters, stories from Reuters. And Amazon, the court has ruled Amazon can be held liable for third-party seller products. Basically, when you buy from Amazon, there's also the option of purchasing, in many cases, products from parties that are not Amazon.
Somebody who's not shipping through the Amazon warehouse. They're just shipping it out of their house
shipping
or their factory or whatever.
Directly from their business to your home.
Right. Sometimes they're the same products that Amazon offers, just offered by an individual seller or company or whatever.
Right, exactly. A federal appeals court on Wednesday ruled against Amazon Incorporated in a case that could expose the online retailer to lawsuits from customers who buy defective products from third-party vendors through its website.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of a good libertarian like question. At what point does a person become liable for an action? It's probably pretty apparent, I think, to most libertarians that if you hit somebody, if you're driving a car, that you should be liable for the damage that you caused to that other person, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's an involuntary tort. It exists under common law, which libertarians generally support.
Then the question becomes, well, is Amazon liable simply because you're using their platform to buy from another party?
I think that's crazy. I mean, to me, it's tantamount to saying that the flea market should be liable for every product that everybody sells at the flea market.
That just seems like absolutely absurd to me.
It does, but that's the court system for you, I suppose.
What's your thoughts on that, Rich?
Generally, I think the liability of the market should be the liability that market purports to take on.
Right.
It's like PayPal kind of takes on some liability when they say we're going to cancel any transaction you want us to. But we all know what they're going to do. It's predictable.
Yeah,
so it's really
it seems to me like this is a situation of buyer beware, right? Like there's some platforms that you know you're going to get good service on. It may not be Amazon. Or you may know that you're going to get good service on Amazon, but only as long as you go through and you buy from Amazon and not through a marketplace seller.
Right.
To be clear,
having known some folks like Conan, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, he's a regular bookseller on Amazon.
Yeah.
But I think he uses Amazon to fulfill. Maybe he's doing it himself. Actually, no, I think he's doing it himself now. He used to have Amazon fulfill from their warehouse, but now I think he just does it himself. So he, I believe, is a third-party seller. And then prior to that, James Cleveland, who was a former host, was also selling things on Amazon. These sites like eBay and Amazon have fairly high standards for their sellers. Like it's not easy to maintain a good like rating or whatever. Like you basically can get beaten up by bad customers if a bad customer tries to abuse you essentially and like, you know, falsify a return or just basically, you know, make crap up that didn't really happen or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they basically side with the customer on almost everything and it screws these businesses.
My company sells not a lot on eBay, but we do sell on eBay at least one product quite a bit and we really only have like one product on eBay listed. But the point is we sell quite a bit of that product on eBay. I mean not like relative to our overall sales. But the point is enough. We get products regularly. And what I find interesting is how easily people abuse us when it comes to ratings. So normally we probably have like a 99 point something rating, but you know we actually had two negatives in like the last year based on people who didn't even like they didn't even buy a like I don't know if they didn't buy a product from us but they totally misunderstood what they bought and then they got mad about it
their own mistake
because of their own mistake and they talked about and I don't even think they I think what happened actually was they were basically harping on us for a product that they didn't buy from us that they bought from somebody else but they also bought something from us so they like basically
taking it out on you
right they're taking it out on us
so what did eBay do to you?
They didn't do anything. They gave us a negative, but that's still there until it went away because of the amount of time. After a certain amount of time passes, it goes away. But eBay won't do anything about it, even though it was like a mistake. The only thing I could do is respond.
Can you respond these days? Okay,
you can respond. And the only thing, but the problem is your rating is still
dinged.
Is still dinged, right? So we ended up going below that 99%, and that's just to me that looks really bad. Now I don't know what it looks like to other people who buy on eBay, but I try to avoid buying from people on eBay that are below 99%.
Yeah.
Because usually that's when you're going to run into a problem. And even though I know that we always run our operation professionally. That kind of concerns me, the fact that we actually had, you know, and it was just unfortunate. It was the only time we've ever gone below 99%.
Is this a court ruling going to apply to eBay, where eBay is going to be liable for people selling on their platform?
That's
insane.
It sounds like it.
Now, I'm guessing Amazon's going to appeal to the Supreme Court on this.
I would imagine so. Numerous other courts, including two federal appeals courts, have held that Amazon cannot be held liable as a seller of products from third-party vendors. Unfortunately, this court disagrees, so it's already been appealed a number of times. The new ruling from the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals of Philadelphia, which reversed a lower court decision, appeared to be the first to buck the trend.
Well, I guess all we can do is hope to see that the next court will rule, the Supreme Court presumably will rule in the correct direction.
This is going to negatively impact prices on eBay and fees. Amazon's going to respond by raising the fees for third-party marketplace sellers.
Or getting rid of third-party marketplace sellers entirely. If Amazon's like, we don't want this liability.
Yeah, if it's not making them money, I think it is making them a lot of money.
It's making them money.
I think they will just raise the fees.
Yeah.
And so
but that's going to drive the sellers out if they raise fees.
People don't understand that this is going to negatively impact everybody. So if you're looking for the best price, well, you're not going to be able to find it on Amazon anymore.
Well, maybe this is once again the same story as we were talking about earlier with the crypto exchanges being driven out of business and then the users driving the users to decentralized exchanges, maybe driving the third party sellers out of Amazon and driving the buyers away from those sellers will drive people into places like Open Bazaar, a decentralized buying and selling community. I mean, that seems optimistic, but I mean, if this would be something that could result in people saying, well, I'd rather go somewhere where there's no fee, because I don't think there's a fee on Open Bazaar, if I recall correctly.
I don't know. Yeah, I think there could be a fee in certain circumstances.
I think it's a very small one.
Yeah, it's
I think there's like an arbitration fee
arbitration,
if you end up having to go to arbitration.
It's insignificant compared to what you would pay to be on Amazon. It's
or eBay, which is like, they're both like 15% at least, right?
Yeah, 10%, 20% for probably an eBay transaction, and I don't know if it's quite up to 33%, but it's a significant...
It's a chunk.
It's a lot of money for, you know, what...
Yeah, and if they're going to have to cover liability insurance or attorneys or whatever, it's going to have to go up even more. And there's only so much the market will bear.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
Because you're already... If you're paying somebody, by the way, to do this work... Like, you know, you hire somebody to put your items that you want to sell on eBay, you're probably giving them 40 or 50% in a lot of cases. And then, you know, that's after the fees get taken out. So you're left with pennies at that point. Because not everybody wants to sit there and box up and ship and list and answer questions about their own items. So they hire people to do that stuff for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, liability for defective products is generally governed by state law, and Wednesday's decision is based on the laws of Pennsylvania, where the customer, Heather, lives. Yeah, I mean, basically, she had a product that blew up on her. She was, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was something like that, or poked her eye out or something.
Jeez.
And it was a bad situation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that...
It's not Amazon's
fault. You know, Amazon should be liable.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a cut-and-dry case, and we obviously didn't get into the appeals court's ruling as far as why they ruled the way they did, but hopefully that won't be upheld.
They ruled based on emotion.
Yeah.
Not
we'll see tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
This is a special alert for business owners, consultants, coaches, folks planning retirement, entrepreneurs, and anyone who is saving and investing to build a financial future. You are likely aware that financial privacy for most people has recently died a miserable death. And let's face it, without privacy, there really is no security, is there? Bankrupt governments and banks on the verge of collapse are perhaps the biggest threat to your financial future today. The Lighthouse Law Club recognizes this and has been working diligently to provide safe, secure, and productive tools to ensure your privacy, your financial security, and your future financial well-being, despite the catastrophes which many people fear are looming ahead of us. Find out more with a variety of free videos on the YouTube channel for Lighthouse Law Club. Just search YouTube for Lighthouse Law Club and secure your future today.
Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.